Welcome to the Scary Movie Project, where darkness meets delight. We review the creepiest films, from classics to new fright. We dive into haunted places, the eerie, the unknown. So grab your popcorn and don't watch alone. From the supernatural tales to the shadows that creep, we're your guide through nightmares that'll haunt your sleep. Tune in, if you dare, to the horrors we dissect. You're in for a thrill on the Scary Movie Project.
And she gives him a great kiss, and he's all like, oh, and then she stabs him in the head both hands.
To say, not just once. This is twice.
With both hands. She just chunk right into the top of either side of his head.
The podcast you are about to listen to is an account of the movies which befell a group of horror fans. In particular, Tara Garwood and her intrepid friend, Matt Lolich. Had they lived very, very long lives, they could not have expected, although they would have wished, to see as much of the mad and macabre as we are to see in those movies. For them, an idyllic summer movie became a nightmare, and they loved it. The movies that they watched were to lead to the creation of one of the most terrifying podcasts in the annals of American history. The Scary Movie Project.
Hey peeps, this is the Scary Movie Project, the podcast where we talk about scary movies and offer you your first shot in an attempt to drug you and our spoilery spoilers. I'm Tara.
What up? I'm the M-A-double-T. And,
You are.
Yeah. Did you all know that, I mean, maybe you did, but Dream Girls can be a nightmare? When Cole stays up past his bedtime, he discovers that his hot babysitter belongs to a satanic cult that will stop at nothing to keep him quiet in 2017's The Babysitter. I watched this on Netflix. Is this a Netflix-produced film, by the way, or is this, I don't even know.
I don't believe so. Okay. I think it was originally intended for theatrical release and then ended up getting put to out to DVD and streaming instead.
Okay.
I want to say before we get into it, this yes. was requested by our listener, Sarah S.
Yes. All right.
So we have her to thank for us doing this.
Thank you.
Even though I would have probably made us do it at some point anyways.
Okay. Well, directed by Mick G. This dude, Mick G. What is his name? That's just his, like, you know, nickname for what has he done? He's been known to do.
He
did one of the Terminator movies, I think.
He's done some Supernatural episodes.
Okay. He's got a good resume,
I
believe.
He did. Yeah, he's done several different TV shows. I think he did Nikita. That TV show.
Okay.
So he's done a lot of TV and a few movies too.
Okay.
But yeah, Mick G. That's what he goes by.
Mick G.
This was written by Brian Duffield.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm saying that right. And the screenplay was actually featured in the 2014 Blacklist, which, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is a list of like the best unproduced screenplays that year. I don't know exactly who puts it out, but it's like a big Hollywood thing. And
so here are her.
A lot of films get picked up off the Blacklist.
So he is. Okay. So I looked him up quickly. I know he'd done some stuff. This is pretty interesting. He's done a couple. Oh, okay. He directed some Cypress Hill videos.
Oh, Mick G.
He directed a couple Korn videos.
There
he
you
did
go.
Some videos for Smash Mouth, Everclear, Sugar Ray. And he did direct Terminator Salvation. So he's done some really cool music video stuff in some movies. So he's done, he's done Korn, Blind, Cypress Hill, Throw Your Set In Me. If you guys know the music I'm talking about, I hope you do. He did the Fastball song, The Way, Can't Get Enough of You Baby, Smash Mouth.
Okay.
What'd I say also? He's in here. Cypress Hill, Still Smoking. Okay. Offspring, a couple of music. Okay, I'm not gonna go on and on, but yeah, that's awesome. He's done some really
cool stuff.
He's
done a lot.
Okay, cool.
And I think you're right. I think he did get his start in music videos,
and that's what it is. A lot of these folks do
TV and film.
And it's a great way to do it. It really is. Yep.
So shall we dive in?
Yes, please. Yes.
We open on a young boy screaming. He's in the school nurse's office, and he's about to get a shot.
And come on, man, just take a shot, man. What's the problem? Yeah,
the school nurse is fantastic. It's like his one scene, but he's a great cameo.
It's pretty good.
And then we see the young boy in the gym, and a jock comes in and just yells, "Pussy!" and just walks away.
That was pretty great.
So, yeah. So, there you go. That is our introduction to Cole, a 12-year-old boy.
What up, C?
He's talking to his friend Melanie outside school, and her dad picks her up in this fancy sports car.
So the dad is amazing.
The dad is fantastic.
I'm a car guy, and I feel terrible because I should know. I think it's an old Chevelle or a Camaro. I can't remember what he's driving. But that is hilarious. That dad is so hilarious. Oh, my God.
Doesn't your mom want you taking the bus? A few moments, too.
Does your mom want you taking the bus? Well, yeah, you probably got to take the bus then. All right. So.
Yeah. So Melanie offers Cole a ride home, and that's what the dad says. Oh, doesn't your dad expect you to take the bus? And he's like, well, yeah. It's like, you should take the bus then.
Woo!
And it turns out that they live literally right across the street from each other.
Well, that's because Melanie's got a little crush on Cole. So. And then he just kind of does the burnout, and he spins the tires, and they take off.
And they're like, out of there.
Dad is great.
So Cole walks home, and on his way home, he gets hassled by some bullies. And B shows up, played by Samara Weaving.
Yeah, B.
She is a hot older girl. She gets there, and she stands up for Cole with the bullies.
Do we find out how old she is? Is she in high school still, or is she like
I don't know if she's a senior or if she's like early college.
Yeah,
they don't really say.
Yeah, they didn't never said that.
They don't really say what it is.
She's,
so
whatever.
But she's somewhere around 18 to 20.
I was going to say 18 is a good guess, yeah.
Yeah. So she stands up for him with the bullies, and then she tells him, you got to punch him in the dick. which I love.
Kick him in the dick.
She's like, you got to punch him in the dick. And she drives him the rest of the way home, and he clearly has a crush on her.
Oh, yeah.
Big crush. So we get home, and we meet Cole's mom, Leslie Bibb.
What 12-year-old boy doesn't have a crush on some 17-year-old girl? I mean, come on.
Who's his babysitter. We find out she's his babysitter, so.
Oh, yeah, what's her face? You said plays the mom, right? She's
Leslie Bibb. She is in one of my favorite horror comedy movies, Hellbaby.
Oh, I've never seen it, but I know she's in a bunch
of
stuff.
I will review that at some point. My husband and I watch it every year on Christmas Eve.
All right,
it's our Christmas Eve movie.
I love everyone that has an interesting Christmas Eve movie. She is in some other stuff. I feel like a jerk for not being able to name it right now, but I've seen her. She's done a lot of work.
Yeah, she's in a bunch of stuff. She's a comedic actress, and she's fantastic.
She's good.
So she's in the crawl space. There's a ton of spiders. The spiders in the basement, by the way, Mexican red knee spiders.
Yeah, no thanks. I don't need to know.
That's the same species of tarantula that was used in Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
How could you live in your house if you knew that was living under your house?
I couldn't.
I mean,
I can barely deal with the little half inch size spiders that we get in our house occasionally.
I don't really have a problem. I've heard bad stories. I'm not terribly afraid of them really at all. But if I knew those things were living under my house, I'm sorry.
I feel like things are crawling all over me just talking about them.
All right, so let's move on.
I do not do good with spiders.
Let's move on.
So she has a little heart to heart with Cole. They have a little sweet talk about him.
And she gets out, and she's, like, just covered in spider webs.
Well, they have that moment where he's asking her about, like, if he's a pussy. And she's like, do you know what that word means, son?
Right,
and he goes,
right.
Well, yeah, it's, like, someone who's scared of everything or whatever. And then as he walks away, he says, I'm not a dummy, Mom. I know that it means vagina. And she's like, okay. And then he walks away, and she's like, he said the word pussy.
Right. Oh, man, that was a great line. That was a great scene.
That was a fantastic scene. And then he goes and he practices driving with his dad, played by Ken Marino, who is another comedic actor. He's in another one of my favorite TV shows, Veronica Mars.
Okay, I am not familiar. I don't know that I've ever seen him, but okay.
Oh, he's great. He's fantastic, too. So he practices driving with his dad, but he's too afraid to actually drive. Cole is too afraid to actually drive, though. So his dad just does donuts instead.
Now, can I please find out where that is? Where I want to live somewhere where there's like a giant like track where you can just go drive your regular car on and do donuts.
My husband said the exact same thing. He was like, wouldn't it be cool to have a place like that to learn to drive and like do donuts?
I'd be going 40 miles an hour, throw it in neutral, hit the emergency brake, and just spin and just do drifting for like hours. But anyway.
My dad made me do donuts in a school parking lot when I was learning to drive.
That's awesome.
In the winter. Like in the winter on ice, he made me do donuts.
What kind of car did he make you do it in?
What did he have then?
I applaud your father for doing this.
I can't remember.
Well, anyway.
It was a sedan of some sort.
Listeners out there, teach your kids to drive. Teach them how to do donuts.
Yeah, he made me do donuts, advice. And then he made me turn out of them, like mm-hmm. so, like basically, like doing the like skidding out and like.
Well, you're learning how to drive. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, he made me do all that stuff.
That's awesome. Well done.
So that night. The dad, I love it. The dad and mom are like laying in bed and the dad's binge watching Mad Men.
Yes, Mad Men.
And he tells Cole, you can watch it when you're a little older. Right. It's a little dense for you, buddy.
Yes.
Just another one of those little moments I love. And in the morning, Cole is messing with this like big kitchen knife that he's got stuck into his RC car, like trying to fix something in it. And his dad takes the knife and he puts it in the dishwasher. So remember that for later. His dad puts the knife in the dishwasher.
Don't put knives like that in a dishwasher either.
We'll get there.
Well, I'm just saying, just when I'm watching it, like a nice cutlery set like that, you don't put that stuff in a dishwasher.
You're already like, no, I know,
yes,
I know.
You hand wash these things.
Yes, yes. And you don't even like want to wipe them with a like paper towel because that'll scratch them. Yeah.
Very careful with that.
So you have to be very good to your knife.
So we've already given you advice on how to drive and how to use kitchen knives.
Yes,
so.
Yes. This is life pro tips, guys. Yep. Like just like on Reddit, life pro tips.
Mm-hmm.
So Cole's parents are going away for the weekend and B is coming over to stay to babysit. And they show this like montage of them having fun. So they're having a dance party. They're playing in the pool. They're talking about all sorts of geeky stuff while she makes dinner. I love this. He asked her what her intergalactic dream team is.
Okay, so that was a pretty cool scene. Okay, so can you remember what she said they were?
Of course, Kirk.
Okay.
Picard.
Okay, Star Trek folks, right? Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith from Independence
Yes,
Day.
Yes, love that.
Ripley.
Yeah, love that, of course.
And for the win.
Yes.
A xenomorphic.
Yes, I know. Her list is written, so I don't really know much about Star Trek, but I know that who those guys are. But the rest of that
I mean, they're the
group,
two captains.
Yeah, right, of course. So
the
I
captain from the original series and the captain from The Next Generation.
I am so down with Ripley and the alien, and of course, Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith from Independence Day. Who doesn't love that movie?
And I love that it's not an alien, it's a xenomorph egg, because he tells her that if you got two, like, antagonistic characters, then they would just fight each other and ruin it. So she gets the egg so that it doesn't like fight Ripley.
Well,
until
we know what
she's
happens
ready to
egg.
Deal with it. She eats the egg. She takes the egg and makes it infect her so that she can be tough or something like that. Right. She had like some whole thing that was going down.
It's great.
And then they watch a movie on the back of the house outside and act it out, which is awesome. I would have loved to do that with my babysitters.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was pretty good.
Yeah, they're like, and he does the line, what is it? I'm gonna take this foot and I'm going to kick you right there in the side of your face and there's nothing you can do about it. And they like play fight. It's really cool. It's fun.
They have a great time.
And then B is teasing Cole about liking Melody. And then she decides it's time for him to go to bed because she's tired. So she tells him she'll give him a shot to sweeten the deal. Right? She says, do you want a shot? I'll give you a shot. You know, like make him sleepy. Make you sleep good.
Sure.
But when she steps out, she gives him one. And then when she steps out to get one for herself, because he says, well, we should, you know, toast, do them together. He dumps his in a plant and pretends like he already drank it. So because Cole and Melanie have made a plan that he's going to stay up to see what B does after he goes to bed, because Melanie is convinced that she has boys over and they all have orgies.
That's right. That's what babysitters do.
So he talks to Melanie on the phone about it. And then later that night, he's like staying awake and he hears the doorbell ring and he goes down to see what happens. So now we have Max, Allison, John, Sonia, Samuel, and B, and they're playing spin the bottle, sort of a spin the bottle / truth or dare mix-up, mash-up there.
That's right, that's right.
So I'll tell you this. In the original script, Sonya was not the dark one. She was the cheerleader.
Okay.
And Allison, who's the cheerleader in the movie, was a journalist for the school paper.
Okay.
John was called John the Baptist.
Okay.
And Max had dreadlocks.
Okay.
So the characters were later, like, they changed them up to be closer to stereotypes of victims in slasher movies.
Okay.
But of course, they're not the victims. They're the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
We will find that out momentarily, guys.
Yes, yes.
But spoiler alert, they're the bad guys.
Right.
So that was different from the original script. And then while they're playing Spin the Bottle, Truth or Dare, B gets dared to kiss everyone.
Right.
So she does a little show for each one.
That was hilarious.
She screws with the guys, and then she makes out with Allison.
Yes.
And then she gets to Samuel, which is the dorky guy who they've invited, who's not really friends with them. And he kind of freaks out. And she has to, like, talk him down. Like, it's okay. It's just you and me. Like, pretend they're not even here. And she's really sweet about it. And she gives him a great kiss. And he's all like, oh. And then she stabs him in the head with both hands.
I was gonna say, not just once. This is twice.
With both hands. She just chunk right into the top of either side of his head.
Uh-huh.
And she tells him, I love this line. She says, you're helping fulfill a great purpose. Know this. And he says, I don't want to fulfill a great purpose.
Nope, sure don't.
And then they all get out goblets and they like let the blood pour from his head into the goblets.
Pretty violent. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And so they're making deals with the devil to get what they want out of life.
Mm-hmm.
So B has this old huge book of the devil's verses. What does she say? She says, you know, God has a Bible.
I know. I don't remember it though. I can't remember.
Buddha has something else, and the devil has verses.
Yes.
So one of them says, all right, let's get started. And they're going to head upstairs. Let's get started, then head upstairs and get the blood of the innocent. So Cole hears this because he's on the stairs. He's
like watching through the bars on the
He jumps up, he calls 911 real quick, and then he prepares himself by grabbing a pocket knife and sticking it in his pocket.
Right.
And he gets back in bed as he hears them coming. And you hear B say, "Do you have the needle?" And of course we know he's scared of needles from the first scene when he had to get his shot.
It's not going to go well.
So they stick it in his arm and they draw some blood and he's like, they're like trying so hard to pretend he's still asleep. They miss the vein on the first try.
Yes, I don't know how he would have been able to fake this for that long, dude. That was impressive.
He manages it. He pretends to sleep through the whole thing.
He does.
And as soon as they leave, he pops out of bed and starts tying bedclothes together to go out the window.
I love it. Yeah, the old-fashioned sneak out way.
But B shows up behind him.
She's hiding in the room, yeah.
And he passes out.
Yeah, yep.
So he comes to with all the teenagers staring at him. And the first thing he can think of to say, Max has taken his shirt off and he's just in his pants. And so he says, why is he shirtless?
Right.
And they're like, wait, really? That's your first like question here? So they force feed him a cookie because B says he's got low blood sugar.
Oh, right.
That's
right.
Why he passed out or whatever. B interrogates him, and he tries to cut through the ropes around his wrist with his pocket knife, but they can see him in the mirror behind him.
When that one day out shows, you know, I don't understand what's going on here because we can see you cutting through the because the mirror's right there.
We can see you, and he keeps her, and she's like,
"Yeah,
oh, he's still doing it. It's so cute.
He's still trying to cut through the rope.
Look how he keeps trying."
Oh my god!
So he bluffs well enough that they believe him that he didn't like figure anything out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to untie him, but then the cops pull up outside, sirens blaring.
You'd almost forgotten about the police at this point. You're like, oh, right, he called the police, yeah.
Right, yeah. So they pull up, they charge in, and Max throws a poker in one cop's eye.
Fireplace poker goes right through dude's head.
Yeah, right through.
Man.
And then the other cop shoots Allison, and like all hell breaks loose, and everybody's fighting.
Shot me in my boob, right?
Yeah, you shot me in my boob. Now my boob's all deflated. Right. Nobody's going to want to suck on my titties.
That's like, great.
So yeah, the two cops get killed. And Allison comes too. And yeah, she says, oh my God, he shot me in the boob. What kind of guy shoots a girl in the boob?
Let's not forget how the cop that had the poker in his head, how they actually finally finished him off. Do you remember that?
Oh, wait, how did they?
Oh, man. So What's-His-Face takes the poker in his head and twists it and basically just rips his head apart.
Right.
Oh, it was so gross, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was real. Yeah. The whole, that whole scene of chaos is pretty great.
Oh, man, so gross. And then that one dude who comes to the party, he's hilarious when he says the line, when I guess they shoot the cop or something and his head explodes and the blood just goes all over him. And he goes, God, this is the second person to get blood. I got AIDS now.
Yeah, I got AIDS now. I think that's John says that. I got AIDS now.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious.
So Cole gets free, and he runs upstairs. And John goes after him, but slips on his RC car and falls to his death, being impaled through the neck by some sort of award.
He lands on a glass award, and it goes right through his neck. That was...
Yeah.
I mean, so far, the violence and the gags are pretty top-notch in this movie. I will say that.
The kills in this are great.
Yeah, they were really good.
So Cole gets out the window, and Max is like trying to pull him back in on the bed sheets, but he falls, so he gets out.
Looks like it hurt when he fell. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Even
so
for
Max,
a 12-year-old, that hurts.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess they do bounce back quickly, but that's... pretty bad.
Yeah, like painful.
But he gets free. He chases into the guys.
Mm-hmm. Words.
Max chases Cole into the garage, but Cole hides and Max runs out the other way. And that's when Cole finds Samuel's body in there.
Right, the dead body.
Then he finds his fat dragon firecracker rocket.
I love me some. I am a fireworks junkie. So if I had found that thing, oh man, I would have had so much fun with that.
Huge. It's
pretty
like,
awesome.
It's like the size of a grown man's forearm.
Yes, and I want
it's really big.
And I want to shoot that thing off, but obviously that won't happen.
I'm Jennifer James.
I'm Jill Stanley.
We're psychics.
We're sisters.
We are the hosts of the Common Mystics podcast.
If you enjoy creepy stories,
road trips,
haunted locations,
history,
and mysteries,
then the Common Mystics podcast is for you. Check out our website at commonmystics.net. Find us on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you're listening to your favorite pods.
So Cole goes to hide in the crawl space with all the spiders, and he hides under a blanket.
Better than getting killed.
And Sonia is like walking around outside, and she sees the crawl space, and she goes in to look for him.
Here you are. Are you here?
Right. Are you here? Well, she almost finds him under the blanket, but she gets distracted by a spider.
Yes.
Because she likes it, the spider. And she's like, I think she even like tries to pet it with her finger.
I think she might.
And then Max calls her, and she crawls out, and she gets almost all the way out. But Cole sets the rocket off. It misses.
Yeah.
But then he
it lands, and it's still igniting. It's still the fuse.
It's still igniting. Yeah. And
fuse is still going.
I think he snaps a trap on her hand.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
And then
she lands on two traps.
Yeah. She lands on traps, and he crawls past her to get out. And then he traps her in there with the, like, cover
closes,
that goes over the crawl space.
The grate back up, yeah.
Yeah, the grate. And so the rocket goes off fully and it just blows her up.
And it blasts him, like, 30 feet back. It was great. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that was a great scene.
It was insane. And
I love him later when the guy asks what happened to her. He's just like, what did he say? Incinerated.
he lays on the grass there, and Max just walks up, and he's just, like, slow clapping. And then, yeah, he's like... What did you do to her? Blasted, incinerated.
He's like, just so nonchalant. I blew her up. I blasted her.
Yeah. So Max chases Cole. And while he's chasing Cole, actually, Max does the chant. He chants the horror music from the movie Friday the 13th.
I don't remember that. Okay.
He does the like.
Does he? Oh, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see that. I can see it. Okay.
So he catches up to Cole, and Cole does a move B taught him. He drops down.
Yep.
And then he kicks.
Drop like a bag of rocks, and then
kicks Magnus in the
fall over you. And he tells him, "You miss my dick."
Yeah, you miss my dick. And that's not even possible. So then they hear splats, like, coming from around the side of the house.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns out the main bully from the beginning of the movie. Yeah. He's egging Cole's house.
He's just standing there egging his house. Yep.
So right. Max makes Cole go stand up for himself. And Cole does the thing where he says, I'm going to take this foot and I'm going to put it in your face right there. And there's nothing you can do to stop me. And the bully's just kind of like, okay. And he tries to kick the bully, and he totally, like, just thumps him in the belly a little bit. Like, he barely misses him.
Attempt, like, yeah, it's pretty comical.
Oh, yeah. And the bully punches him real hard. Just and then Max is trying to tell the bully what's going on. And the bully gets the thing. He's like, no, I'll help you. He's like, I mean, come on. Who else am I gonna right. torture or whatever? And he's like, Cole's like, oh yeah. And then he's like, nah, screw that. Like, I'm not helping you. And he just gets out of there. So Max comes back out and he congratulates Cole on standing up for himself, but he's still gonna kill him. And I love this line. Cole is trying to convince him he doesn't have to, and he's like, yeah, I'm not like the others. I came here to kill people.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty much what I'm doing.
Yeah. He's like, basically, that's the whole reason I'm here. Mm-hmm. I don't care about making a deal with the devil. I'm just here to kill people.
I'm just here to kill some people.
So Cole climbs up into his treehouse, and Max circles it. And then he climbs a rope up there, and he almost kills Cole, but the treehouse floor breaks, and Max ends up like falling through and getting hung by the rope.
Remember, they mentioned the part where, you know, because he had eggs all over him, and so his hands got all eggy, I guess.
Hands are slippery.
And he wasn't really able to hold on. Maybe he could have grabbed that rope instead of getting hung by it and breaking his neck or whatever. But I think they were trying to insinuate that, I think.
That his hands are all slippery, so he couldn't, fix himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So then B comes out of the house with a shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
And Cole runs into Melanie's house across the street, like we said, and he tries to tell her. He tells her what happened. And they hide around the corner as B comes to the door, like inside around the corner.
They thought, you know, the house with the locks were going to auto-lock them. And nope, she just busts right in the door.
Yeah, she just busts right in the door. She stalks them through the house, and they just keep moving around corners ahead of her.
Exactly.
And then they end up hiding in the bathroom. And he tells Melanie to call the cops, and he'll take care of this. And she kisses him.
Yes.
And it's, like, the cutest scene.
Well, I love...
Because he's all, like, flustered and, like, he's happy, but he's flustered. Yes. And then, like, he gets on the other side of the door, and she's like, what does she say? She says something like...
So, okay, that's my favorite part, is...
Okay.
He says, wow, I really like that we kissed. And she goes, yeah, next time let's make out.
Says, yeah, next time let's make out. And he's like, okay.
Like a 12-year-old boy, I can attest to, you know, that was like, that is such a line or something that would just totally have happened.
Next time let's make out.
Hilarious. I love it.
Cole goes back home, but he doesn't see B anywhere. He does find a very dead-looking Allison, though, and the devil's book.
Yes.
So he gets the devil's book. He gets into the kitchen. And then Allison comes up behind him, grabs him, and she tries to kill him, but he punches her boob.
Sure does.
And she whines about it.
Yeah, again.
Again. And Cole remembers the knife in the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to find it, but it's not there. And we see a little shot of his mom and dad in the hotel that they're staying in. And
what is the mom
being like, why did you put... Yeah, she's jerking the dad off under the covers while she reads a book.
That shot is so great. It's from the head of the bottom of the bed facing the two of them.
Yeah.
And he's just watching TV. Is he watching TV or is he reading a book?
She's reading a book.
And she's just sitting there jerking him off.
He's enjoying getting jerked off. She is reading a book while she does it.
Oh, my God.
And then she tells him, like, hey, you left the knife. You put the knife in the dishwasher. It doesn't go there. I put it back in the butcher block. And so you see Allison get the knife out of the butcher block.
Sure
and
does.
Cole grabs a big old, lighter, like a...
The big,
the long kind.
The tall fireplace lighter. What are they
the
called?
The long kind of lighter. And so he's like trying to like ward her off with it, and then she gets shot in the head from behind.
Okay, she just blows her head off. That was amazing.
B just blows like, her head off.
I didn't think I didn't think it was going to do that or something like that.
She says that she was never going to kill Cole, but he grabs the book and threatens to burn it.
He sure does.
But B tells Cole, you know, she didn't use him. She chose him.
Liar.
And then he says, I'm not the first kid, am I? And she says, no. And she tells Cole that they can say the others attacked the two of them, and it'll be you and me against the world. But Cole lights the book on fire, and then he throws it past B, and she goes after the book. So he runs out to Melanie's dad's car, starts the car, drives for the first time, and crashes it into his house in the room where B is.
Goes like flying off, like because he hits something else, and it basically creates a ramp. And he just goes flying
Flying into the house.
Love it.
So he crawls out of the car, and B is trapped like half underneath it. Mm-hmm. And she asks him what his intergalactic dream team is. She says he never, you know, he didn't tell her because forgot to ask.
That's right.
And he tells her he would pick Admiral Adama. That's from Battlestar Galactica. He's, as you can hear, the Admiral. Data. From Next Generation, Star Trek, Predator, and then his last two are And Me and You. And she's all sad, and he says goodbye to her and then climbs out over the car.
Yep.
And Melanie sits on the street with Cole while the cops and the firefighters do their work, and the bullies show up to see what happened, and the two, like, goon bullies think it's really cool. And the main bully is like,
whatever, man. Yeah.
Whatever, man. So Cole's parents get there and they say, what happened? And he says,
I don't need
a babysitter anymore.
Nope.
And I learned after this that I don't know if you kept watching through the credits. There is a scene where B comes back and I totally missed it.
No, I think I turned it off too.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. But so know that, guys.
And
don't
usually,
do what we did. Don't turn it off. Keep watching.
I usually watch.
There is a scene.
I'm like one of the losers that usually like is like the guy like hangs out in the theater too sometimes to like watch the credits. Yep. And I totally just did not do it this time. Yeah.
There is a B comes back moment.
So it cost us. How about that?
Yeah.
Live and learn.
So I love this movie. This is the third time I've seen it. Somehow every time I haven't managed to see the last.
I know.
I
know, right? God.
Somehow I kept not knowing that it was there and not watching the credits. But yeah, I love this movie. I think it's hilarious. I definitely recommend watching it. There is a sequel.
Yeah,
that is called The Babysitter Killer Queen. It's not as good.
I didn't think so.
It's fun. It's fine, but it's not as good as this movie.
Okay, I wouldn't think so.
So what did you think, Matt?
So I found it entertaining in some parts. I don't love it. I don't feel the movie I'll watch.
Which is funny because just us talking about it, you laughed a lot.
I did. So there were definitely some scenes that I had forgotten about, like the jerking off parent scene, and some of the stuff I'd forgotten until we got into it that did make it was funny. But I feel like sometimes it just kind of was going nowhere. I don't know. Like there was a satanic cult, but they didn't really explain a whole lot. It was. What, is it really trying to be funny and scary? Because it really wasn't scary.
To me, I thought it was just trying to be funny and that it was a send-up of all those 80s movies.
Yeah.
Where they sort of flipped the script and made the little teenage group the bad guys.
And I feel like they got 75% of the way there and they just couldn't finish the deal. Sometimes.
Okay, I can see that it didn't quite get there for you.
I found it funny. I like the sweet, you know, Cole and the little girl across the street that he likes. I love that part of it. B to me was whatever. There was nothing outstanding with her. I don't think she was just blonde hot girl that you put in there for to play the part. I didn't think that was
right.
I honestly didn't care for the kids that at the house. I thought they were all kind of crappy. I liked the one guy that talked about I got the blood. I got AIDS. That was
you
funny.
Like John.
He was funny. Yeah, it wasn't great. It had some gimmicks to it that were funny. And the gags, the violence, the kills were outstanding. Love the violence.
Yeah. It was so well done.
Give it a watch. It wasn't bad. I didn't love it. I found it somewhat entertaining, though. It was definitely had some laughs to it, though. Yeah.
I got to admit, I'm kind of disappointed that you didn't love it because I really love it.
I didn't hate it, though, either. So
I love it so much.
No, it was a good pick. No, it was a good pick. I mean, I'm glad I got to watch it. There was definitely some stuff that, you know, every movie you see, you're going to learn something. You're going to get something from. You're going to get a gag out of it.
Yeah, but it's a pretty straightforward movie. Like, it's a very simple setup.
Yeah,
it's very just like, maybe here's what happens.
More. Right, maybe I wanted more from it or something.
And it is not The Shining, okay? It's not.
No, nor would
it's not a,
think
but I mean, it's not like.
It's just have fun. Look, let's just
not
have some.
It's atmospheric so much. Yeah. It's
let's
not.
Let's have some gags and let's just have fun.
Oh, there's a mystery here. There's none of that. It's just straight off like, let's just have some fun and do this.
Yeah. No, and I'm totally cool with that. And that was, it's just let's goof around. Let's have some, you know, murder gags and, you know, whatever. It's all good. So,
So did you have a crush in junior high school?
Oh, I mean, of course.
I mean, a big one. Like, who's your big crush?
That's what I think I liked about the story. Because it was this kid with the girl across the street. I thought that was so cool.
Who was it? Who was yours? Do you remember?
I mean, I'm not going to name names. We have people listening. I don't want to, call anybody out here.
Ooh.
I can say
he still
yes.
knows her, folks, and he still has a crush. That's what I'm hearing.
That's pretty good. the answer is yes. I mean, what 12, 13-year-old boy doesn't have that? I mean, come on, right?
I didn't have the whole babysitter crush experience because my babysitters were all girls.
Oh, so you're asking, are you asking me a babysitter crush or just a crush on some girl that lived? Now I'm confused.
Either way.
Oh, no. Never had a babysitter crush. Never had that.
Okay.
No.
I didn't have a babysitter crush because there was no babysitters that I had a crush on.
What you were asking me. Okay.
But I did have a boy who was an actor who lived pretty far away from me. He lived down in Virginia with you.
Okay.
So, and I had a huge crush on him, and it turned out that he had a huge crush on me, and our parents, like, helped us date.
Okay.
Like, they would take us to the movies, and then they would, like, go wander the mall while we watched a movie together.
Okay.
We had one kiss once.
Definitely went to see, what is the Tim Burton Nightmare Before Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely did that with
the girl you had a crush on.
Yes. Yeah. It came out. Yep.
Dating when you're in like fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade is
you
so
really have no
innocent
idea what
and cute.
You really have no idea what you're doing.
You have no clue. No clue whatsoever.
You're not sure what's going on. You're just kind of doing stuff.
I think when I kissed this kid, I think I was in fourth or fifth grade. So a little younger than middle school. But
awesome. I love it. Yep. That's hilarious.
He was another actor who I met through acting coach classes.
That's why I think that part of this movie was so great, because I think that's relatable to like everybody, you know?
Oh,
I
mean, yeah. That young love thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's so.
Right.
And definitely having a crush on an older, like on a grown up.
And it's so cool because I like the fact that, you know, to everybody else, he's just this worthless nothing that people pick on. But to this girl, he's like her. He's like the hero, kind of. You know what I mean?
To Melanie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right, she totally is.
He's gonna save the day. He's gonna hide her away and come save her when everything's over. So yeah, that was funny. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Which normally I would be like, of course they like hide the girl away and she doesn't get to do anything. But then you have B as the contrast, who is like,
yeah, a little bit, right?
The big bad, which is awesome.
The big bad. That's
and
right.
Allison and Sonya, who are also big bads, like, or littler bads than B, but still big bads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I would have liked, I would have liked more in depth of the satanic cult. It was kind of just this generic, but maybe that was the point. They don't need to be specific about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think their whole...
We're just a satanic cult and that's it.
Yeah, I think what they were trying to do was that... Also that, like, these teenagers... Other than B, the teenagers didn't really know what...
No, they didn't know
exactly what they were getting into. They just knew, I'm supposed to make a deal with the devil and get what I want.
Yeah. Well, when you're 17, you don't know what the hell you're doing anyway.
So. Exactly. So if they were like 18 or something.
If I had been told that, I probably would have gone and shown up at that house too. So, yeah.
I feel like I would have been too scared.
Oh, I would have done it. I was an idiot. So, yeah.
I feel like I would have been way too scared. I would have been like the Cole in this movie.
But, you know, in the end, he saves the day in the end, right? So,
all right. Go. So who would you be in the movie? We haven't done that in a long time.
Damn.
Would you be John? I got AIDS. Now I got AIDS.
I mean, you know, I loved him. I don't think I would have been him necessarily. Mm. I don't know if there was one character that I would have been. That's
Yeah, wow, I don't know if I can place you in one.
Yeah, I can't relate myself to really any of those dudes, I don't think.
I definitely was enough of a dork that I would have been the Cole.
Okay. Well, you're the hero though, so.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have been the hero though. I probably would have just been really scared.
Now, I love the girl's dad's car, but I don't want to be the dad. I don't want to be him.
No. But you could be Cole's dad.
Okay, he seems like he's a nice father.
Cole's dad's pretty cool.
There you go. He seems like he's a nice guy.
He has a good sense of humor. I can see that.
He does. He was a nice guy.
Okay.
Cool with him.
Okay. We'll go with that. We'll go with that.
A good, wholesome guy.
So let me see. Is there anything else we need to talk about this movie? It's just such a simple movie. I'm not sure there's much else to say about it.
I mean, you know what? I think at some point maybe I'll watch a sequel just because I've seen this. I might as well watch the sequel, right?
Yeah, the sequel's kind of fun. It's not quite as good, right. But it's still kind of fun.
Right.
But I definitely would say for me, if you tend to agree with me on my movie reviews, guys, go see this movie. I love it. If you tend to agree with Matt, maybe watch it.
Make your decisions. Do not let us influence what you do. But yes. You know what, though? We already gave you advice anyway on how to drive and how to handle kitchen cutlery. So if nothing
true.
Else, we gave you that.
Life pro tips. Watch this movie.
So, you know, that's really what we're here for, to make your life better.
Make your life better, really. Yeah. We're here for you guys. We're here for you.
Yeah.
So next up is Dark Skies, another listener request.
Okay.
But
isn't there something before that?
Not before that in this. Okay. No, that will have already happened.
Oh, all right. I have my dimes and dates.
So next up is Dark Skies, a listener request, like I said, and don't forget, guys, you can subscribe, follow the podcast, rate and review us on iTunes, Google, Google Podcasts, Amazon, Audible, wherever you're listening. Just don't forget to rate and review so more people can find us. And send us your movie suggestions. We're doing listener suggestions, so send them to us. And send us your thoughts on the movies we've watched so far at thescarymovieproject@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Scary Movie Project. See ya!
With great power comes great responsibility.
True. So true.
The Scary Movie Project podcast is produced by Tara Garwood and Matt Lulich. Learn more at thescarymovieproject.com.
Stay connected with The Scary Movie Project. Visit our website, thescarymovieproject.com. At The Scary Movie Project on Instagram and Facebook, and email us at thescarymovieproject@gmail.com.